from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning. It is November 4th. Sitting here waiting for Adam to call on the telephone and say, Adam, and I email him, where are you, Adam? And of course, he's calling on Skype because we do Skype now. Duh. Man. It's tough when it's Monday, you know?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
I know, man, too. That's the wrong week to quit amphetamines. Well, it's the first Monday of the month, and it's Adam Bergstrom time. It's always fun. Adam is out in Montecito, which is, I guess, near Santa Rosa, down the street from Ellen the Degenerate, or DeGeneres, and... Oprah Winfrey, Adam Bergstrom, Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition, his book, hardcover book, and then he's got Sunsink Nutrition and SolarTiming.com, and he does a blog. He's a Man About Town raconteur, 76 revs around the sun, or five, six?
You got it.
Six?
76.
76.
Just like the gasoline.
Or 76 trombones, something like that.
Yeah, that too.
Well, you don't sound a day over... 34, so you're doing good. So how is it that you can think so clearly, remember stuff, get up to research and do all this stuff, 76 revolutions around the sun? You should be in a nursing home just, you know, drinking baby Pavlov. I mean, come on, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Right? You should be.
Eating on time helps. Eating good food helps. Attitude helps.
Attitude, eating food on time. Yeah, there is a time to do things, like, what was the Marianne Faithfull song? Every time have its season, reason, or something, you know. This timing thing of food, Adam Bergstrom, of fruit and nuts in the morning, more tree things, and then more of the bushes and the trees during the day, and grains, I guess. And then what is it at night would be seafood and eggs and...
Root foods,
like burdock root, bromeliads, and those kind of things. Nighttime, peanuts, of course, man. So where did that all, how did that all come about? I mean, did somebody just make that up and then put that on the interweb and we do it? Or come on, what is it? How did it all come about?
Kind of followed the patterns of the Earth. In fact, the Earth is actually, its rotation is set up to eat three meals. We have the highest oxygenation time of the day, which is good for eating foods, at 7 o'clock. Then it drops down during circulation sex time. Then it raises at harp time for the second peak of oxygenation. Then it drops in the afternoon for siesta time. Then it raises at 6 or 7 again. And every so often you get a fourth peak, but it's really rare.
Huh. So 7 a.m. we have the most oxygen going in the, like if you measure the oxygen levels in the blood, is what you're saying?
Exactly. They did extended tests underground with potato plugs for 10 years. They measured the respiration for thousands of hours to detect these rhythms. And Frank A. Brown was the premier chronobiologist who they had pushed out of the way, claiming that we don't respond to external rhythms, but we respond to genetic internal rhythms. And that was the eugenics folks at Cold Springs Laboratory that kicked Frank A. Brown. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. And he was the real founder and the namer of circadian rhythms.
Circadian rhythms, is that the same thing as chronobiotic?
Same thing. And by the way, when I say founder, actually chronobiological rhythms were known back in ancient Greece when they noticed that bean plants would put their leaves up when the sun came up and then droop them down at night. So they noticed these things quite extensively way before Frank A. Brown came on the scene.
Yeah, and if you go out in the garden does some really curious things at certain times of the mornings, right? I know that we used to, I haven't grown it for a few years, but my grandma's squash, which is really a beautiful squash that climbs on whatever you put up there to climb, and they have these flowers, and they open at a certain time of the day.
Yeah. They sure do. And look, roosters crow at a certain time of the day, too. You get all these different smells and sights and things happen at different times of the day. To the optimum, if you take civilization now, like if I want to drive to Ventura and I go at 6 o'clock, there's going to be so much traffic. I wait an hour and then I can slide on through. So hourly rhythms make a difference. Now, that's a mechanical, that's a society rhythm. But there's lots of biological rhythms that that's based on.
Mm-hmm. So I guess roosters, they do it by the sun or something like that?
Yeah, they're programmed to a 24-hour day. See, it's not really programmed to light.
Yeah,
sound
effects.
Right.
Oh, Dizzy just walked in here. Yeah, we have some roosters down the road that, man, they'll start sometimes at, way below, maybe like 5 o'clock,
yep,
or something. Maybe they're on railroad time, and we need to get them a solar timing book or something. You know?
Right. Well, actually, early, because lung time is the best time to get up. So whippoorwills, birds like that,
Start
the morning off very early. When I was a bird watcher back when I was a kid, I'd get up at 3 or 4 in the morning to go out and listen to the whippoorwills.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go out and slop the pigs, and it's kind of fun, you know? It's like, come here, piggy. It's quite a hard job to do before you post toasties, but, somebody had to do it,
You bet. It's interesting that the modern chronobiologists, the ones that go by the genes, they now consider it a disease if you wake up at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. By that standard, every farmer in the world would be ill that gets up to take care of milk his cow and whatever at 3 or 4 in the morning. Because I've been on a farm in Nebraska, and that's what happened. You got up, and we had like breakfast at 6 in the morning.
Sure. Yeah. But after hanging out with you all these years and doing this show and living out in the country, I've really let go of the idea that I need to I need to sleep so much, and if I get up, there's a, it's fun to be able to get up at 3 o'clock and just, read or do a spiritual exercise or, just do something and then go back to bed if you're tired. Sometimes I'm just wide awake in the middle of the night. But it's not a problem. It used to be a problem because I thought I shouldn't be, right?
Well, they've done studies now that primitive man slept in two shifts. Mm-hmm. They kept a fire going all night, and they took naps, but they often were up dancing and things like that, at 2 in the morning.
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes.
So when people wake up that way, and in India, and actually the Catholic Church, and they would get up and meditate at 3 in the morning. It's called the hour of nectar in India, and all ashrams pretty much start the day very early.
The hour of nectar. I like that. That's 3 a.m. solar time, right? Right at lung time.
Solar time, which goes around the world by longitude. The light goes from east to west and travels around the world. We started mechanically at Greenwich Mean Time, and the international date line is 180 degrees from that. But, of course, the sun doesn't care what we're marking off the Earth. They only picked Greenwich as the zero point because they had a better observatory there at the time.
Right. I was talking about that the other day. So, obviously we just circle around the sun, right? We circle around the sun. The Earth does, right?
And yep, the light circles around the Earth, but the sun, of course, the sun doesn't rise. The Earth rotates.
But this idea, it's easy to figure out a day because, it gets dark and then, you come up with a stretch of time and call it a day, and I'm okay with that. And, I guess you can divide it up into these these mythical things called hours and minutes, right? And, you know, I can get into that. But is there anything, I mean, this 12 months and years, I know 12 is a powerful number with 12 zodiacs and 12 this and 12 that. And then, but I mean, is there really, there's not really any such thing as a month or a year, is there? I mean, it's just all made up, isn't it? I mean, the universe just does its thing. It just keeps moving.
Well, the numerology is what determines it, and it happens that we spin around the Earth in one cycle, which would be one revolution, one rhythm, and then the Earth spins on a 24-hour day. So biological life is tuned to that. Now, ultimately, spiritual life should free itself from that to come and go like Neo did in The Matrix, you know, back and forth, back and forth.
Like we talk about in Ekankar of dying daily. That's one of dying daily, so you leave your body. Of course, everybody leaves their body all night long anyway, but most people don't look at it like that, you know, like...
We even leave our body during the day. Every time you take an out-breath, you have left your body, and every time you take an in-breath, you're in your body. But since people identify with the incoming breath instead of the outcoming, they don't get the pleasures of soul travel.
Did you hear that, I think we have a northerly coming in. Did you hear my little chandelier, my big chandelier of glass, really pretty over my stairs coming up? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it clearly.
Yeah,
yes.
Man. So I think there's some. Yeah, I can see some dark clouds. I think we're getting a northerly wind coming in. Okay, if you'd like to be on the show with Adam Bergstrom, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So how did the body? I guess then this whole thing about aging can be said to be just that we, as souls, spiritual beings, we bought into the idea that this time is real kind of thing, right? And then we have so many years, and then after 70, you're probably going to get old. But that's all really a mental construct, isn't it?
You know, according to O'Donnell Lay, if the only reason you generate lactic acid in your muscles when you work out is because you count the reps. If you didn't count the reps, you would not have any lactic acid.
I like that. Did he really say that? That's just hilarious.
He really said that.
That makes so much
sense. And he said
sense,
the trouble is if you try not to count the reps, your subconscious is counting it. So you have to actually knock out the subconscious too.
Yeah, you got to get
it. Then he said you can exercise as many reps as you want for all day and not have any kind of problem.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're limited to it, but it's our own mind that's put that limit. You know, people, despite what we're told, people used to live to 170, 140 regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the people who died from cholera, warfare, tetanus, and things like that.
Sure.
But a lot of people actually made it a lot past the 126 record lady that science knows. You go back and read the old books, and there's names, dates, and places of these, and look at the biblical ages that lasted for 900 years and 800 years and 700 years.
Yeah.
I don't know of any modern, I think the record's like 173 or something like that, but of course that's not acknowledged. Master Chen's master lasted 130 years. She was a woman.
130, wow.
Yeah. Actually, 129 by our reasoning. The Chinese add 1 year before you're born.
Oh, they do. They count it in the womb.
From the time of the sperm creation. The sperm usually lasts about 3 months. So 3 months of spermal existence, and then 9 months of in the womb.
Well, that's fun. Yeah, that's
so
fun.
You can have traumas with spermal traumas, what O'Donnell called a spermal encounter. And he claimed that if two people meet, if the youngest person speaks first, it's a spermal encounter. And if the oldest person speaks first, it's a karmic encounter.
Yeah.
So he had a whole karmic subclass going on before we're born, when all the sperms are hanging together in a big old community of millions of people, almost like on a separate planet.
Ed, and the more and more I hang out here, it feels like the only really limitations that we have at all in all aspects of being in a body is really the limitations that we've made on ourselves.
That's the case as far as I'm concerned.
Do you see it like that?
What I learned from Madonna Lay and other teachers too, from Master Chen, from Rabbi Michael Shapiro, from Adnan Sarhan, they all pretty much agree on that.
Yeah. Of course, then the whole world is out there telling people of all the limitations, you know, with movies and books and TV shows and articles and whatever, right? It's just full of I guess the lower worlds, this, you know, trying to keep you here. You know, the religion is called this Satan. You know, this lower energy that's trying to keep you here. You know, keep you wrapped up, and that's what I think. That's what the Satan is. That's where the Satan thing comes from.
Yeah, yin and yang, and the limitation is. People make money on limitations. You know, genes are a paramount limitation in our society, and they're fictional. Obviously, there's levels below and above the genes. Like proteomics disproves genomics because the proteins control the genes. And then the glycanomics or the sugars control the proteins. And then below that, you have ionics and a whole bunch of other levels. And then, of course, the microbiome as well, which is tied into the mitochondria.
So we have all these different things that we've given names to: sugars, proteins, genes, microbiomes, bacteria, that they're all working together, playing. So, but none of these things are the controller mechanism. And what we see now with 23andMe, is the 23andMe thing, is that DNA, or what are they doing? Genes, DNA?
Yeah, it's DNA. See, and they can manipulate genes. They can't manipulate proteins yet. So, of course, you can't patent what you can't understand. So they go what they can understand. And, of course, that's just an intermediate level.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one little snippet of a thing, isn't it? And it could change. It could be changing momentarily, I would suspect, too. Couldn't it? I mean, if you did your swab and then you, I don't know.
Easily before, when they could just manipulate chemicals, then they would patent drugs. But now that they can get down to the level of DNA, they'll patent that. When they get their proteins, they'll patent that. And it goes on endlessly.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the time they get to the atom, they'll find out that the entire field is connected directly to the atom. In the same way, when you go through the color field, isn't it interesting? You go from red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, red again. How did that happen? How did I get back to red by going forward?
All goes
instead
in
of
a
backwards?
Circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the same with time. Time. How did we get back to the same place we started by going forward?
Yeah.
Interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. And it's just like spiritual growth. I mean, we'll spend lifetimes trying to go somewhere until we really figured out that we've always been where we wanted to be here now, which, you know, we don't go anywhere, right? I mean, you know, in theory, because we are everywhere all the time anyway. So it's what's the great line out of the movie, that God didn't give anything to the Tin Man that he didn't already have?
Like that. There we go. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, God never gave
what
anything.
What movie was that?
Well, that was a song, The Tin Man. That was a song, God, no, yeah. You know, who? Come on, help me out, folks. What's that song? Is it the Eagles? The Eagles, Eagles song? It was a line in the song, God never gave anything to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. We'll find it. Somebody will know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 888. Yeah.
I've heard it.
Yeah,
I know the line.
888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com with Adam Bergstrom. So yes, I sometimes really get compassionate for some people that I see them. They'll go out in this 23andMe and other things. And I don't know. I'm not criticizing them, and I know they're trying to find out things, but I see them and I get emails and they get all wound up on one thing. Well, I know that I can't detox because my SNP this and all that, and I'm just very cautious about, you know, encouraging somebody to buy into that idea.
You know, same thing, poor methylators,
yeah,
good
poor
methylators,
methylators,
et cetera. It goes on.
Yeah. But it may not be true what they're thinking, right?
Most of it's not. Most of it's based on profit. They want to make a profit. So if you limit something, you know, when you advertise, they always say you have to have a devil. You have to have something that your problem is going to solve. So they make all these problems, most of them non-problems. And then look at now the opioid crisis. What is the government involved for that anyway? If a person wants to leave this planet with opioids, that's their business. But we spend $6 billion a year, I believe, or is that a total for the opioid crisis? How did that happen?
Well, yeah, and I think there's been a total, there's a number out there. I think it's $1.5 trillion in Afghanistan for 20 years. And everybody knows, you know, as Leonard Cohen says, that's all about, you know, protecting the poppy production. Because
they want to blame Afghanistan for it. And actually, there's still many drugs coming out of China and the old Golden Triangle. All of those places are still operant. But the statistics are way distorted for what's coming out of Afghanistan.
Yeah. And the statistics clearly show that the poppy production has gone up since the United States is there. And my contention is that they're there to protect them because the big pharma needs these things. They need them. And also the CIA and other covert operations, they use drug sales to finance themselves because they're off the books. I mean, that's a known fact. That's just not black.
It's not about making drugs illegal. It's about them controlling it because the biggest importer of coca leaves is the United States.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Yeah, they've been down there with the Iran-Contra thing and the drugs and, you know, for what, 30, 40 years, you know.
I'm talking about legal. Legally, they import it legally, but then there's the illegal, too, that goes on.
What do they use cocoa for legally?
All kinds of bases for drugs, and Coca-Cola even uses the residue Coca-Cola gets for the rest of the plant. They actually have chemicals that are psychoactive in Coca-Cola, the cocaine. That is taken out in a laboratory in New Jersey, and then the labs get the rest of it. And it's the finest cocaine coming out of, let me see, what's that country?
Probably
on
Colombia?
The west coast of South America, the long one. Chile.
Chile, yeah. Let's take this call here. Good morning. You're on the phone with Adam. Who's this? Hello?
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 Hello. Hello, Patrick and Adam. How are you?
I'm sorry, who's this?
Hello. My name is Amina. I'm calling from United Kingdom.
Okay.
Well done for the great work you are doing. I've been listening for a while, and my background, I'm a doctor by profession for over 20 years. But recently, for the past 4 years, I went to holistic health.
Right.
And I'm really keen.
So, how can I help you? It's hard for me to understand you. I'm sorry. Were you calling the live show?
Yes, I'm calling live show.
Right. Did you want to talk to Adam?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Speak real clearly because it's hard to understand you. I'm sorry.
Hi, Adam.
Hello.
My name is Amina. Hello.
Okay.
I'm interested to translate your book into African language.
Great.
Into what language? In the Hindi?
Swahili.
Swahili. Wow.
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 Wonderful.
Adam, why don't you give this lady your email address, and maybe you all could talk about that.
You bet. Adam@solartiming.com. ATOM@solartiming.com.
Okay, I got it.
And where are you from, caller? Where are you from?
At the moment, I'm calling from United Kingdom.
Right.
Okay, UK.
But my origin is Tanzania, so
Tanzania. Huh?
I can translate it to East African language.
Cool.
Swahili.
Do you think the people in Tanzania would be interested in Adam's work?
Definitely, because what has happened is because of Western influence coming to Africa,
uh-huh.
somehow the traditional African way, holistic way, which usually works very well into health, somehow it's getting like lost.
Yeah.
So, but now people are going back to tradition to heal their issues.
Well, that's nice.
So they
wonderful.
Really understand the atoms work.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad you're interested. Thanks for listening. And email Adam and see what you guys can work out and let us know if we can
yeah,
help.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, Will. Okay. I wish you all peace and joy
well,
every day.
Well, peace, love, and hippie beats to you too.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
That's great. You just never know who you're reaching. Isn't it crazy? A lady in the UK,
amazing.
Yeah, who wants to translate your book to Swahili. I mean, you know, surely.
My name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years old, and I've been building muscle and losing fat over the last 6 months. I've been using One World Whey to provide a highly assimilable protein and Kappa Mineral Whey to help me get all the minerals I need and support my body's alkaline pH. I've also been using EstroBlock to keep my testosterone levels high and not allow it to convert to estrogen, which happens normally as men age. The extra testosterone also helps in building muscle. The result has been a successful process of converting my body from fat to muscle. I've lost 20 pounds to date.
Join the many people who are converting fat to muscle with One World Whey. The body is chronically hungry for usable amino acids. Cooking proteins destroys up to 75% of the amino acids. Cooked proteins burden the body and accelerate aging. One World Whey's protein content is raw and virtually 100% usable. Substitute One World Whey for one meal of your day and see how much better you can feel. Click and order on the One World Whey banner ad right here at OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is probably one of the best fun, clean, digestible superfoods out there, this One World Whey. Can be used for so many fun things with your families and your kids, your husband, wives, and just get some more protein and some good amino acids, and it tastes fun, and it's great to have around if you just want to have a shake or something, and just have that for a meal too, rather than whatever. So it's a great product: vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored One World Whey. You can click and order right on the front page of One Radio Network anytime.
Hey, Patrick. Peter from Rhode Island. How you doing?
Rhode Island, is that state up there in the northeast?
I was off the sulfur for a while because I was traveling, and I just fell away from it. And then for the past 3 or 4 days, I've been taking it again, and my dreams are, like, through the roof. It's sort of like I can't wait to fall asleep to dream. It's just crazy dreams. I mean, they're all sort of creative and wonderful, but the vivid dreams are just, I'd forgotten how vivid, you know, your dreams are when you're taking this stuff, and I hadn't been for, I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that, and then all of a sudden, for the past 3 days, I've been taking it again, and it's just like, whoa, that's cool. I really enjoy it, so.
That's great. Now, we can't guarantee that your dream experiences, which we believe are real, as this, are going to be fun, creative, vivid, and all the rest of it like Peter. But even if it does nothing else, sulfur, and we know it does, understanding your dreams, remembering them more clearly would be worth the price of admission. You can click and order Pure Organic Sulfur right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Very well said, Patrick. Thank you very much. No, I think so. I think so, too. If all sulfur did was facilitate us to remember more of our dream experiences, which we have every night, as we leave our body, it really would be worth the $80 for every 3 months, right? Because there's so much to be learned from dreams. There just is. Because these are real experiences that we go out and play and learn things. And even when we don't remember them, we are learning things. It's pretty fascinating work. When you really look at dreams, it's nothing like the whole Freudian Jung thing and just the brain is spitting out, and that's all bunk. It's just not true. We are soul. We leave our bodies at night, and we experience things on all different levels with all different people in different bodies, mental, and the more we remember, the more fun it is because, well, it's like going to New York for the weekend. The more you remember and the more you learn about the experiences of the New Yorkers. Same thing. So, long and short of it is, it's a beautiful way to help dream recall. We've had so many over the years. So it's not something we made up. It just kind of came to us, this information about sulfur and dreams. And you can click and order Pure Sulfur on OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay.
Broadcasting live, weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
One come true, something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
That song will make you want to get on top of a ship and with a girl and go into the wind, you know, like a Kate, you know, Titanic. Oh, no, that was Titanic. get them carried. God, Adam Bergstrom, 888-663-6386, email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Adam, have you and Byron Gallo seen any fun, good movies or films lately that you want to tell us about? Anything?
Let's see. Not really.
No.
By the way, talking about McLuhan, in our last conversation,
yeah,
you know,
Marshall
about
McLuhan.
The film having the point of view, while television doesn't have a point of view, so it's instantaneous. One of my all-time favorite movies for photography, cinematography, that just blows everything else out of the water is a movie called Torque. Have you ever seen it?
Torque?
Yeah.
No.
I recommend it. Its director is Joseph Kahn, and its editor is David Blackburn. And together, they make other movies, but the team made, to me, the ultimate cinematography movie. You can go on the internet and look at the first, just the introduction, right at the very introduction. It's so amazing. It's like a rock video through the entire movie. Just amazing.
I just pulled it up on Netflix. Longtime biker, Carrie
Ford. Yeah,
you see
the part where it says the first minute and a half of the movie?
No, it just says is framed for murder by somebody, the leader of a biker gang. Is this the movie you're talking about?
That's the plot. The plot isn't that original. It's okay. It's got Ice Cube and an actor from New Zealand.
But the photography,
cinematography is so awesome. Well,
I just added to my
queue. I recommend you see it.
Yeah, I just added it to my queue, you know. There you go. So it's in my...
You'll enjoy the photography. It's just like you can't catch your breath. They change scenes so quickly.
I'll be doing it. That's great. Torque. Amazing the things we come across. If you'd like to talk to Adam, 888-663-6386, email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, OneRadioNetwork.com. So I did the cryo thing again over the weekend, Saturday, where you jump in a tube of nitrogen at 140 degrees for 3 minutes. And it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm not sure if I'll keep doing it, but it was fun. I think the body likes a little kick in the pants or something like that. I suspect I can do the same thing with the sauna, jump into a cold shower or so. But, you know, this takes us to the Wim Hof work. And what's your feelings about getting real hot or getting real cold for the body?
You know, it depends on the limits because we do make heat shock proteins, which some people say are good for you. Some people say they're not. And I'm kind of in between. It depends on if your body's prepared for it. We have limitations, just like you can work out to the max if you're bodybuilding, but you can overdo it and destroy muscle too. So it's kind of knowing your limits and your limitations and where your body's building. So it can be, I think change is beneficial for our body to learn adaptation.
Mm-hmm. It just helps it, I guess it would help. So if you live in Maine or Minnesota, that after a while, your body's going to get a little bit stronger. Wouldn't you think your immune system and everything just withstanding the winters there?
Yeah, according to Adonna Lay, said it was the best was to be born in a cold climate and then move to a temperate or warmer climate later.
Ah, really?
He said that was better, but go back to the cold climate once a year for 1 month during the winter. And that would adapt your body. Actually, he also preferred, like in India, they used to move from one ashram to ashram by season. So it was good to be in four different places, four different times of the year. And he kind of did that. He used to visit California here on the solstices mm-hmm. and the equinoxes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence that people that live like, in warmer climates or near the equator have any kind of advantages to those like in Canada or Minnesota or something like that?
It depends on what you're looking at. Almost every war that's ever been fought, the North always wins over the South. So it's good to be in the North if you're going to be in a war.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about. Maybe they're more cold hardy, right? And they made it through the winters or something.
That could be part of it. And they're fitter. They tend to be fitter and get stronger to cope with the climate. Now, you get right next to the equator, of course. You get strong by dealing with the heat. There's mm-hmm. some people in India. There's an ashram in India I know about that they won't allow Westerners in there because they can't handle 130 degrees in the shade.
Really?
But they're used to it, so they have no problem. But they actually ban Westerners. I had a friend that actually went there anyway, and because he had been so brave to risk his life to get there, they let him in and to their private library and everything, and he hung out with them.
Isn't there a yoga where they do, they heat up the room and do yoga? Isn't there a yoga like that?
They sure do. I have a friend that's a yoga teacher who thinks it's nuts, but I think it has values. Again, you can overdo it. Too much heat can break your body down. Like you can get heat prostration, but it's the limits that you put on it and how your body's doing and your immunity. And the mind comes into this because so-called older people have less adaptation. And I believe that's largely from their lifestyle and from their thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the telephone.
Makes them old.
On the telephone, who's this? You're on the air with Adam.
Hi, this is Jill from Brooklyn, New York.
Jill? Like Jill, Jack and Jill?
Joe. This is Joe.
No, Joe.
Oh, Joe.
J-O.
I used to have an aunt called Joe, and we would call her Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe?
For our whole life, yeah.
Why did you call your aunt?
I don't know. It was just, to this day, we call her Uncle Joe, and she's still a girl, and she's 90. She's 95, and we call her Uncle Joe.
95? What, has she been following Adam?
No, actually, it's a great deal of pasta and olive oil is what it is.
A woman
Mediterranean diet.
Heart.
Yeah, that's what I was talking. I've been talking about, Joe, been talking about freedom, and for me, freedom is just to eat whatever I want until, 150 years old, whatever. That's just to me.
Well, it's possible. All things are possible.
All things are possible. How are things in Brooklyn?
Oh, I'm loving it. I feel like I sprouted wings and I could fly where I couldn't do that in North Carolina. Oh. So I'm happy, happy, happy.
Oh, well, you sound happy. Good for you.
Yeah, I am.
They have good pizza up there. What's a good time to eat pizza, Adam?
Midday.
Yes.
Just about everything on the pizza is midday, except the mushy, mushy rooms and the anchovies are nighttime.
Those are nighttime. But, Adam, I do have a question for you, but since you're talking about pizza, I thought I heard or I read that you said eating melted cheese is the worst thing because it stays like glue in your organs.
It definitely does. In fact, Adonna Lay cleaned the pizza out of my system or the melted cheese by giving me a dry colonic. He worked one of those lung vibrators up and down my spine, and I didn't have to go to the bathroom when I came to him, but As soon as I walked out of that room, I had to sit on the toilet for about an hour.
Can you do this for me?
And years later, I told people about that, and he said, "Brother, I had to do something. You were so full of melted cheese."
Well, I tell you, being an Italian, a Sicilian, I think I'm full of melted cheese.
Well,
that's why you can
order
your pizza without cheese.
I don't know about that, Joe. I mean, my aunts and uncles, they ate pizza cheese, and, you know, they lived to over 90. My grandma ate 95, so I'm not sure about that. But, you know, the real Italian pizza, Joe, as you know, I'm getting an echo now, they don't really have all that much cheese. It's mostly tomatoes and stuff like that, a little bit of cheese. You know, when you go to Italy, Sicily, right?
Yes, but what about the people? Like, I grew up eating lasagna, manicotti.
Well, of course, we all did, right?
Cannolis, eggs and cheese. And I'm trying to clean my liver. And I tell you, I am following Adam like I'm his shadow.
Yeah.
I'm following everything he's doing. And I don't know why I still have a little belly.
Oh, a belly, yeah. Well, Adam,
exercise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we've learned over the years, Joe, that it's really that. What do they call that, Adam? That fat, is that gray fat or there's another word for it? What is that?
Yellow fat.
Yeah, no, not yellow fat, but it's that belly fat is the most difficult last thing to go. But we've had people over the years, and Adam, I think Adam is on it too, where this resistance training and exercise is really the only thing that's going to make that go. Not the only thing, but probably you really need to do it, don't you think, Adam?
It's bloat mainly. So there's two different types of there's one that is like a soft one that appears, especially as people age. It's a little one above the belly button. That is hormonal and is simply a loose muscle having to do with actually thrusts can bring that out. No amount of crunches or sit-ups can deal with that at all. But the one where you bulge, and I've seen people do the circle of fire exercise to make those go away, one of the love thrust exercises that they have in the gym, and it won't work because it's gas, and you can't get rid of gas by working it out. It's called bloat, and bloat is not fixable by fixing a muscle.
So it's just air. It's just air in there.
Air pressure holds it in. So you can clearly see in Texas, it's more evident because they wear a big belt buckle and it sticks out about a foot.
Right.
But it happens to men all over, and more men than women, and a lot of it is simply gas from drinking beer. You'll see beer drinkers, they even call it Milwaukee goiter because it's so bulging out. But they want to get rid of the fat, but the fat's not there. Not in the same way. The gas pressure holds it into place, and you can actually evaporate a belly like that once you start eating on time or doing certain exercises involving respiration, not physical exercise, but breathing.
Maybe, Joe, get you some. Maybe
about the fire of breath?
Breath of fire, like the yogic thing, Adam, where you go.
No, this is one where you actually... You grab rings like at a gym or ropes, you know, that double rope thing they have?
Yeah.
You press pressure down, then you lock your hips forward like you're making love, and you hold it, and then you drop it. And you do that continuously, and then that's how bodybuilder Larry Scott figured out to get rid of his pooch, because he was working out when he was in his 50s or so, and his wife said, "Hey, you're working out all the time. How come you got that pooch?" So the first thing he said, "Well, first I was going to ask for a divorce, but after that I decided maybe I'd work out the pooch." So he figured out how to work out the pooch that all the other exercises don't work, and it's red muscle, so you have to work on it continuously to make it go away. As he said, if you take a duck is red muscle, so you throw it up in the air and it ends up in Alaska. But you take a chicken, which is white muscle, and throw it up in the air, it lands on your head. so what you really want is, when you're dealing with red muscle, you got the Alaska thing going, so you have to do it over and over. So you have to hold that in position. The Boy Scouts used to train There's those ducks now.
There they go. Going south for the winter. Okay, sorry. Get out of here, ducks. Get out.
There it goes. Great sound effects. We're getting lots of sound effects. Roosters, ducks, pigs.
This is funny because I was my initial question why I called, but we started talking about pizza, was I sent you a photograph, and you were so kind, and you always respond to me. I bought this Pilates Pro chair.
Oh, yeah.
And I had asked you, is the orange one, you remember I sent you the picture about a week or two ago? And I said, what can I do to develop my legs? You said, work between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. But now I was going to ask you, what can I do to get rid of this pouch on this Pilates thing? Do you have a video on how to do this? Because I need help. I don't want this pouch.
You don't want this pooch pouch.
Pooch. I want to give it away.
Pooch
get pouch. Rid of it.
What do we, Adam? Could she?
Well, depending if it's bloat, then it's a gaseous problem, and eating on time, and also doing respiratory exercises. But if it's not bloat, and it's that little pooch that appears just above the belly button, you know. Just below the belly button. What am I talking about? That's the one that.
It's big, but it's not acceptable. It's.
Yeah. So you got to figure
out. Accessible. Do you have a video?
Well, you do a love thrust, it's called. A pelvic thrust forward.
Pelvic thrust.
And that's the one that works. Maybe I'll see if I can find an example and post it on Facebook, because there's exercises. It's called the Circle of Fire. You can probably find it yourself, except I see people doing the Circle of Fire incorrectly. So maybe if I can find one to post on Facebook that people are doing correctly.
Maybe try going to YouTube and putting in Circle of Fire, Joe. Maybe you'll find something there. Let me do it while we're on the air here. So Circle of Fire is kind of like a yogic move, isn't it, in some way?
This is a different one, but it's related to yogas. The yogis know about it. Yeah, the best one, the one I saw done correctly, is one by Larry Scott, directing somebody. So I think it's under Larry Scott's Circle of Fire.
Okay.
You'll find it on YouTube.
Let me put that
I'm
in there.
I'm writing all this Circle
Larry,
of Fire.
Yes.
Because I was going to ask you, since I've tried so many things, if there was a yoga pose that you could recommend.
Oh, here we just
Go ahead,
Adam.
No, you go ahead.
No, okay. We just found Larry Scott, the Ring of Fire. Is that
Ring of Fire, excuse me, I got it wrong.
Here you go. This is perfect, Joe. Midsection fat burning. All right, see, now we're on to it. Okay.
Put
in Larry Scott.
All of this down.
Larry Scott's Circle of Fire in YouTube, and he'll show you a video of how to do this. I'm going to do it afterwards. So this is going to burn the fat in the midsection, huh?
Yeah.
It works that particular area.
Now,
actually, be careful. I see when I put in a ring of Larry Scott, I get another guy, and this is the guy that does it wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I put in Circle Fire, and I got it. It's right.
Great.
It's 3 minutes, right, Patrick?
That's
yes,
the one.
Ma'am.
3 minutes.
Yeah. 3 minutes.
He's showing how to do it correctly. Yes.
Cool. You know, you got to watch out, though. You just may, people may talk about you in Brooklyn doing the Circle of Fire, you know. But
they're talking
Larry
about Scott me
said
anyway.
It's good to do it.
They all right. think you're wacko anyway, man.
They know I'm a wacko, and I love being a wacko. People think I talk about all day is Adam and solar timing and solar eating. I've been doing it, January will be a year, and I'm thinking, why isn't this belly gone? I've been doing it a year.
Oh, it'll go.
Why is my next question is, if I may, my hair, they used to call me Brillo Head when I was growing up. Everybody, not one person didn't call me Brillo Head.
Yeah.
My curls are so tight, I couldn't put a brush, a comb, nothing through it.
Oh, I bet you were
now,
cute.
I have no more curls.
Oh.
My hair is straight as a board. And it's not thick anymore. It's like baby fine. What am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm. Thicken up the hair, Adam.
Well, hair can change over time, and it has a lot to do, again, with what we're eating and health. I've actually seen one time I shaved my head, and my hair grew back curly. My hair has never been curly. Well, it stayed curly until it grew out about 2 inches and then went back. Well, later, I shaved it again. Nothing happened. So my take on that was either I was traumatized by seeing myself without any hair, or it was the time of the year or month. Because I was upset. I didn't realize it would change my appearance that much. Now, I shave my head all the time. It doesn't bother me.
I like bald men. They're sexy. But I don't want to be thin. My hair is paper thin, and I couldn't even put my fingers through it. And I'm thinking it has to be hormonal because I'm on your protocol for almost a year. Next month it'll be a year. It should be getting better, not I'm like losing it.
All right.
Well, some things take a long time. You know, to get rid of my glasses took from 1987 when I first needed them to 2009. So some things are going to take some time.
Yeah,
also, your attitude has a lot to do. And I had traumas about not wanting to look at certain things. So
you
need to work on your engrams or your cognitive shocks, too.
Joe, this may be symptomatic, but have you ever really got on our sulfur, tried that long term? People really like
Adam.
What it,
I take your sulfur. I mean, Patrick, I'm sorry. I take your. You know how many jars of sulfur I bought from you? I'm ready to place another order.
Oh, good. But it hasn't affected your hair. That's unusual. Usually people think it really. How about your nails and all that? You don't see improvement with your nails, hair, skin with the sulfur?
My nails, they're growing where they never did before.
Good, good.
They get hard. But I must have bought two, maybe I'm on the fourth order of the two jars, but my hair is progressively getting worse day by day.
Yeah, you got something going on that's kind of cattywampus there. I wonder how she'd figure that out, Adam.
Well, find the cognitive shock and also find out what's missing in the nutrients. And sulfur is one of the things. You know, when you burn hair, you smell sulfur. That's because of the cysteine and the sulfur chemicals.
Sounds like she's
hair.
Got plenty of that through some kind of a... I wonder, is hair a lot of hormonal things for ladies and for boys, too?
Yes, it is, and for men, too, definitely. You need a certain amount of zinc, and you need a certain amount of other chemicals. Zinc is important for hair growth. Also, sodium is.
Well, I'm using the Morton salt that Dr. Hal Huggins recommended.
Oh, you mean
and
that,
I was going to ask Patrick, he sells what you have on your store. I forget what they call it, but it's like a hormonal thing. What is the name of it? I was going to ask Adam, too, if I should get that. It's it comes in a bottle with a dropper. I know you sell a lot of things like that. But it's for not estrogen, but like testosterone or something like that.
Well, I mean... You could try the pine pollen and the elk velvet.
That's it.
Well, people really like that, and girls like it, too, and especially ladies around 50, 60, 70, in that range, 40, 50, 60, 70, they seem to enjoy a little bit of hit of testosterone. You might try the pine pollen from Daniel Vitalis and see if that doesn't kind of turn your hair around a little bit. You never know. You know, hormones are real tricky. You can get in there and do saliva test and blood test and try to
I've
fiddle with them, but boy,
I've
it's kind of a mess, isn't it?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's what it is, pine pollen. I think maybe I should try that.
It's worth a try. Plus, you know, if you really got your hormones in balance, I think all the guys in Brooklyn would like you better anyway. I'm just kidding.
Like me anyway. I'm a people person.
I'm just kidding you.
I love everybody.
Yeah. I would try it. It's worth a try. It's a really nice product. You know, it's worth a try.
That's it. Pine pollen. Well, when I put my sulfur order in, I'm going to get some of that because I have to do some. I was thinking to fly to California and have Adam work on me.
Yeah, you could do that. That would be fun.
Turn me upside down. From the tree.
That's right. That would be fun. Yeah. Yeah. Then you could go visit Oprah and, you know, see what she's having for dinner. It'd be fun. All right, Joe, we got to go. Thanks a lot, sweetie.
I'd rather stick with Adam.
All right. We'll see you real soon. Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Have a good day, guys.
You too, Wes.
Thanks for calling.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, to this day, we have Uncle Joe. We still call her Uncle Joe. Isn't that hilarious? Uncle Joe. Okay, Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone at his OneRadioNetwork.com. 888-663-6386 email, Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Mark Circus, he's a cool guy. He's down in Brazil. And we haven't talked to Circus for 3 or 4 years. And boy, he's fun. He's into a lot of things, hydrogen, iodine, all kinds of, I think a lot of stuff on hydrogen. So we'll do that. We have some very interesting emails in my little inbox right here in front of me. And we're going to get to them all. And so you stay right there. Here's physicist, biologist, chemist, Dr. Gerald Pollack on far infrared saunas.
Infrared energy is what builds this fourth phase of water. And the idea of a sauna, you know, you go in and you sweat and you receive this infrared energy and you feel great after you come out. I felt the same, and so have so many people. And most of us think, well, you know, it's just some sort of psychological issue, and it might be. However, experimentally, we know that infrared energy builds the fourth phase. Your cells should be filled with this fourth phase, but you know, we tend to be somewhat dehydrated and missing some of this fourth phase. And so what happens is, if you subject yourself to infrared, the infrared is absorbed by your body, absorbed by your cells, and it converts ordinary water to fourth phase water, and then you feel better.
How cool is that? Structuring the water in your body with the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. That is really cool, isn't it? I think it is. And if you'd like to get one of these little puppies, I have authorization. I'm authorized to give you a deal, but can't put it in print, but it's only for those of you who are hearing my voice right now, either live or on a podcast. And if you'd like to get a Far Infrared Sauna, this Relax special technology out of Taiwan, they've won 5 different international awards on the technology. It really is different. Yep. I mean, that's one of our specialties around One Radio Network, that we really do have some special products. And just because I'm into it and been doing the show for 10 years, we figured out how to find them. We just have. We just figured out how to find them. And then, you know, sometimes some of them come and go, but you'd be, you know, we find them and then we stick with them because they work and people like them. So if you'd like to get this sauna, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll give you a deal. Give you $995 delivered continental U.S. The Relax Sauna, it's portable, and you can set it up anywhere, bedroom, just anywhere, and they're very, very quiet, low EMFs. And then if you'd like to get the Far Infrared Lamp, which is a table lamp, and I really like mine, we can give you the lamp and the sauna for $1,195 delivered, or just the lamp for $200, or just the sauna for $995, and we'll work it out, whatever you like, because we just want to take care of you, okay? And just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. That's patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And this is for Joe, if she's interested. Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream, and there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. And I can absolutely, positively, without a doubt, tell you guys, how can I say this as a family show? I can tell the difference when I'm taking pine pollen and if I run out or if I just get off for a few weeks. There's a different difference in hormones. I mean, it's noticeable. Just really interesting food. Pure superfood pine pollen from Sir Thrival.
Know the Source. One Radio Network.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Sister Rust, where are you now? I met you over Rocky Mountains, feeling blue, waiting for a last frame to walk through all together. But when you closed your eyes, it was then I realized you were so far away. There was nothing I could do to stop you feeling blue anyway.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Oh, I love that song, man. Isn't that a beautiful song, Adam? Wow.
I don't remember hearing it before.
Isn't it cool? Isn't it really?
It is.
It's got this whole symphony thing going in the background, and just really... I have to get that fellow's name. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but that's called Sister Rust. Oh.
I need you now, 'cause I've got a feeling it's you and me again, waiting for the credits to end now and forever, with something in our heart that if we were to start, would pull us away. There's nothing we
can. Man,
I
tell you, that just that floats my boat, man. I don't know what that is. That melody is just true. Isn't it amazing how music can affect, does affect our whole being? Just sound, right? Wow.
Very important. There's music for every part of the body, you know, for rock and roll for the hips, and bagpipes for the higher chakras.
Huh. Really? Bagpipes?
For the medulla oblongata.
Oh.
Oboe, too.
Yeah. Wow.
And drums for the coccyx, and flute for the genitals, and guitar for the solar chakra, you know, the third chakra. That's why... the guitar is a woman's torso, and the belly button is right where the hole is in the guitar.
Isn't it interesting? Remember when the rock and roll stuff, with how the religionists would say it's kind of, you know, music, devil music and all that, because I guess the people moved their hips. And I remember even when Elvis Presley was on... Ed Sullivan, what, at the very beginning, I guess in the late 50s, that they wouldn't even show him below the waist.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't That's it? Also why they got Dick Clark. You know, there was an original guy that had dance, whatever they call that show.
American Bandstand?
American Bandstand. But it was started in Philly, but he played too much black music and there was too much movement going on. So they worked an excuse to fire him and trumped up a charge. And then they hired Dick Clark, who came in and was told to cool it. And rock and roll was basically destroyed then. And we got things like Bobby Rydell and Fabian and all this manufactured rock stars.
Because it was going to... too boogie-boogie, or too kind of like...
too much boogieing going on.
Yeah, too much boogieing going on. Ah, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Then Elvis came along, and he had a second wave, and that one took.
Yeah, that one took, and then the Beatles broke it wide open, and then all... But you know what's really weird in our culture now? I don't listen to a lot of music on the radio. I just don't find a lot of stuff that I like. But there's so much of it now has rap in it, you know. I mean, just huge, incredible impact on the entire music industry. I listened to some of the top 10 or 15 finalists in the Grammy Awards online one day, and they all got this rap thing going on. I wonder what that is spiritually. Never really thought about that. Do you got any theories on that, rap?
Well, I happen to like rap, but not corporate rap. They've kind of taken it over. At first, rap was the antidote to punk, because punk was the antidote to the hippies. You know, first it was River and Sunshine. All these names were hippie names. So then the punks came along and decided they wanted to go to the opposite. So they named their kids Rat Puke and names like that to conflict it. Well, anyway, they got really all into themselves. And so you had to have a community reaction, which was the original rap. If you look at the original movies that were done that way, it was all about communities. Then your corporate people didn't like the idea of the ghetto organizing, so they formed gang rap. And that's why you have so much gang rap. And now, with groups like, what is his name, Chief or something like that, Chief Keef, all it does is how to machine gun people. All the songs are about shooting people.
Yeah, shooting and people and guns and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing. The our particular society now has created narco ballads, where it's Walmart sells these narco ballads about all machine gunning people, and the narco traffickers have become national heroes. They even have their own saints, like Santa Muerte, which is Saint Death. And made up other saints that the Catholic Church is real upset about, because a lot of people are switching over to the narco saints.
Yeah, there's a
and the narco music. Commander, there's a guy named Commander. He started out doing music for free, and he caught on so much. Now he's $60,000 a concert. He's all over the United States, and where it's legal, many places in Mexico will not allow him to go down there because he glorifies the narcos. We let him get away with it here because narco music is very big throughout the United States, from Atlanta right out here to L.A.
I'll be done. Yeah, there's a very popular series on, I think it's called Narco, on Netflix, and I watched a few episodes, but it was just a little weird for me. It was glorifying, or, you know, these guys, and it was kind of strange, so I didn't watch it.
Also Hollywood's version of what's going on.
Of course, so who knows?
You got to take it from there. But there is a lot of brutality in when you go with drugs. If drugs were legal, there wouldn't be those the money's in it, because if it's illegal, the more we crack down, the expensiver the drugs become, and the more people get involved.
Sure.
Fortunes to be made. I think Forbes had one of the richest people in the world, the 10th richest. He was a narco guy.
He was a narco dude.